Today, we're going to have kind of a joint class with the adult class. We're going to look at a few questions and answers and Bible references in the resource material that they use in that class. So I know lots of us have gone through that class and used this material because we've used it for a long, long time. But I just thought it'd give us a little refresher, and I think it's kind of the same questions that they've either just looked at or they're about to look at. So you can grill the kids, if you have kids in that class, later on the questions and answers. So, and the book is called My Christian Faith, and it is a catechism. There are only three chapters to this book. They are chapter 1, God and the World, chapter 2, Man and Sin, and by far the longest chapter of these is chapter 3, which is about Jesus Christ and salvation. Now, this book is a guide, it's a dictionary, it's a resource, and it must always be accompanied by the Bible. It is like any other devotional. It is a guide to direct you to salvation through Jesus, to guide you into deeper understanding of that salvation, and ultimately help you to share that knowledge with someone else. Let me read you a couple paragraphs from the introduction in the front of the book, just to clarify exactly what a catechism is. I just took it, that was the name of it, and that's what it was. But a catechism, I'll read it to you here. My Christian faith is a catechism. A catechism is a book of questions and answers about the basic issues which a person confronts in becoming a Christian, as he thinks about his life as a Christian and as he relives the Christian life. In the Mennonite catechisms, Bible references are always listed, have always been listed with each question, since our faith is based on the Bible. So that's paragraph 1, and then I'll just read you the last paragraph in here. Our prayer is that each person who studies My Christian Faith will be able to experience the Christian faith personally by a full commitment to Jesus Christ, and the "my" in the title of the book will become a reality. And that's from the chairman of the revision board that put this book together. And that was in the 60s, early 60s. So that's what a catechism means, and that's what this book does. It gives a question, it gives a very short answer, and then it has one or two Bible references with each of those answers, which are longer than what the writers have put for an answer, and then it's supposed to promote conversation and questions to go beyond that. Now we're going to go to question 78 in this book, and the first question is, it's under the title of Accepting God's Plan of Salvation. Now I'll read some of that out of there. Now question 78 starts out with, it has four answers to it, A, B, C, and D, and Bible verses with each one. And the question is, how do we receive the salvation God has provided for us? So that's a pretty straightforward question. That's the first question you need to ask. And the answers they give are, we receive salvation by turning away from our sins, and the Bible references are, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And they should repent and turn to God and perform deeds worthy of their repentance. Acts 26, verse 20. So there we have it covered, the confession of sin, the realization that you are sinful, and the repentance from that sin, and turn to how God wants us to live once we get further into our Christian life. We'll look at that. We will find those things out. Answer B is, we receive salvation by giving our allegiance to Jesus Christ. But all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The next answer they give is, we receive salvation by accepting it as a gift from God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Because, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And the last answer they give to this one is, we receive salvation in becoming new creatures through the indwelling Christ. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3. So that's it in a nutshell, how we receive God's salvation. And you may have questions beyond that, and that's why we have a couple teachers in there always that can help the kids and lead them on to more Bible verses on top of that and more answers that God has for us. Now, question number 79 is, how does this new life express itself? This new life is expressed by love and service for Jesus Christ. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8, verse 34. So this new life should show love for other people and for following Christ and taking up that burden and continuing that work for Christ. Now they get into the role of justification through your salvation for the next three questions. And those are the ones I wanted to look at a little deeper. What role does justification have in becoming Christians? Justification is an act of God in which he accepts as righteous in God's sight the sinner who believes in Jesus Christ. Okay, let me read that again. Justification is the act of God in which he accepts as righteous in God's sight the sinner who believes in Jesus Christ. And the Bible verse to go with that was, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. That's a funny thing, that word justification. We often, as people, we justify things we do because, well, I was raised that way, so therefore this is the way I am, or I may do things that aren't quite up to God's standard, but compared to somebody else, well, you know, it's not as bad as that, so I'm justified in doing some of these things. But we have a hard time, when it comes to that word justification, we need to do it according to what God's word has to say for itself. Now, justification, by that answer they gave, justification is the act of God. So it's God doing it. It has actually nothing to do with us. We have to believe, and then he brings that justification about. So it's an act of God in which he accepts as righteous in his own sight. So he's made up his own mind to take your sin and put it completely out of his mind if he sees Christ in your life. So I wanted to go to my commentary, the Bible Believers the commentary, and read you what they had to say about this. Being justified freely by his grace, the gospel tells how God justifies sinners as a free gift and by an act of unmerited favor. But what do we mean when we speak of the act of justification? The word justify means to reckon or declare to be righteous. For example, God pronounces a sinner to be righteous when the sinner that believes on Jesus, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in this way, the word is it's most often used in the New Testament. So it's an act of God when the believer accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, a man cannot justify himself. That is, he can protest on his justification, but this is nothing but deception. If you think you can justify yourself, you're just deceiving yourself. God, in justifying sinners, actually calls them righteous when they are not. A popular definition of justification is just as if I'd never sinned. So it's just as if I'd never sinned. So God looks at us, even though we are sinful, if he sees Christ, he looks at us as if we have never sinned. So he takes that sin, he doesn't just pull open the filing cabinet and put, let's put that in Dave's folder here. No, it's gone. Like, he doesn't use it against you. Satan will use those things against you through your life, but God does not use those things against you. When you've become a believer and asked for forgiveness, those things are gone. It's hard to think that he doesn't remember it, but he made his creation out of nothing, and he takes your sin and he puts it out of his mind and he puts it into nothing. It's gone. Christ has completely replaced it. The definition is like I've never sinned. But this doesn't go far enough even. When God justifies the believing sinner, he not only acquits him from his guilt, but clothes him in his own righteousness and thus makes him absolutely fit for heaven. Justification goes beyond acquittal to approval, beyond pardon to promotion. Acquittal means only that a person is set free from his charges. Justification means that positive righteousness has been put in its place. The reason God can declare ungodly sinners to be righteous is because the Lord Jesus Christ has fully paid the debt of their sins by his death and resurrection. When sinners accept Christ by faith, they are justified. It is important to realize that justification is a reckoning that takes place in the mind of God. So here it is about God deciding to do this. It's a reckoning he is doing in his own mind. It is not something a believer can feel, but he knows that it's taken place because the Bible tells us that it takes place. Now, there are six different aspects to this justification, and they all work together in perfect harmony. Now, we are justified by grace, which means, obviously, that we didn't deserve it, which we don't. And we are justified by faith, which means that we have to receive it by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by blood. That refers to the price that the Savior paid in order that we might be justified. We are justified by power, the same power that raised the Lord from the Lord Jesus from the dead. We are justified by God. He is the one who reckons us. He's the one that changes it in his mind for us to be righteous. We are justified by works, not meaning that good works earn justification, but they are evidence that we have been justified. So it's kind of a long thing on something that we really have nothing to do with, but that's how God sees us. It's important to know how God sees us as when we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Now, we'll continue on in verse 81, question 81, how are we justified? God accepts us as his children, not because we are deserving, but because we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. That's Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. And also, a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no one be justified. Galatians 2, verse 16. And question 82, which we'll finish off on, is what are the results of justification in the life of a Christian? A Christian knows that he has peace with God. So that's what we feel. We don't actually feel the justification, but we feel a peace with God. And that we have become children of God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. And it is the Spirit himself bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. So that's a little look at what the kids have been looking into and how we're saved and how we're justified by God. So that's a glimpse at a few of the questions that they're being taught in that class. If you want to take a deeper look into this book, I imagine there's one in our library that you could take a look at and sign out. So let us, after hearing these things, let us endeavor to express our salvation in love and service for Christ our Lord. Let us live as children of God and show God's love and forgiveness for each other. Now that our forgiveness for each other should be like when God justifies us. We should forgive each other and forget it and put it away like it never even happened. Let us live as children of God and show God's love of forgiveness to each other as God did for us. As believers, may we worship, study, and serve together more and more, and may we speak the truths of God's holy word without compromise to each other and to the world. And with Jesus indwelling each one of us, let us deal with each other with the same love God has shown for us, so that the world may see it in us and want to be a part of that kind of love, which only comes through the unity of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.